surface of the water. He realized that there was some sort of light gleaming around him, a pallid and watery light, coming from burning torches stuck around the walls. Ryan rested for a few moments, trying to register some of his lost strength. Over to his right, there was a sort of key, carved from the bare rock. It was obviously man-made, with rusting iron rings set into it at intervals. He figured its length around 200 feet, and its width close to 50 feet. Beyond it, he could just make out the gaping mouths of two more tunnels. With an effort, Ryan managed to ease his right hand out of the strong plastic folds of the net, slipping the panga from its scabbard, and taking the greatest of care not to drop it into the black water. The honed edges sliced the coils apart, freeing his left arm completely. The net was stretched clear across the river, and was by the feel of it weighted down at the bottom. At this point, the water was much wider again, running more slowly and steadily. As Ryan jerked at the mesh, he saw that he wasn't the only prisoner. There were a number of slim white fish with protruding eyes, much too large for their narrow skulls.
Ryan!
Yeah?
You all right?
Cold and wet and... Where are you?
Ryan strained his head to look around.
Here!
The girl's voice came from the deepest shadows.
I can't see you!
Caught in this bastard trap!
Can you pull clear?
Got fishes stuck all around me. You on the right?
Yeah. Yeah, close to a kind of a jetty. Come to me.
Kate was only a few feet away when Ryan finally spotted her. There was a bruise on her forehead, and a trickle of watery blood seeped from her nose. She reached out a hand, and he grabbed it, pulling her close to him. Her body was trembling as though she had the quaking sickness, and her eyes were very wide.
Life packed with thrills, ain't it?
Could do with a quiet few minutes now and again. Make a nice sort of change, you know?
Ryan put an arm around her thin body, hugging her close.
It's all right, Kate. Let's get out of the water.
Ryan had to use his panga once more, cutting away a thick tangle of netting. Then he was close enough to the rough stone of the key to reach out and grab one of the rusting rings.
Hang on.
He let go of the young woman while he heaved and kicked his way out of the freezing grip of the river. Once he was on dry land, he knelt, panting, and reached down for Kate. The weight of water in her clothes made it a struggle to lift her out.
Gonna die if we don't start moving. At least we can get a fire going from one of those torches. If we get some wood to burn.
Who laid the net?
A part of Ryan's mind had been working on that one since he first broke the surface. Over his years of traveling through the Deathlands, he'd sometimes come across small groups of people who lived in caves. And in a desolate wilderness like this, fish were likely to be one of the few things you could depend on for survival. The unanswered part of the question was whether the fishers would turn out to be friendly or not. Once they started to move along the quay, Ryan and Kate saw a number of passages leading back into the depths of the mountain. All of them had torches smoldering at intervals along the walls, but Ryan was puzzled at the poverty of the lighting. The flames were feeble and smoky, casting so weak a glow that they were hardly better than having any lights at all. Behind them, the ceaseless rumbling of the great river was drowning out any other noises. Ryan's heretofore infallible sense of direction had finally failed him. The tumbling ride through the midnight maelstrom had totally disoriented him. He'd been spun around like an egg through a whisk and had lost all idea of their whereabouts. The only thing that he knew for certain was that they were a whole lot lower than they'd been when they started their journey. They had to be close to the bottom of the steep-sided valley, near to the sulfur mines, near to Grigory Zemyanin, and near to Dean Cawder. Ryan led the way toward the nearest of the narrow vaulted corridors.
This one.
Why that one?
Why not?
The passage bent in a sharp dogleg, only 50 paces long.
Fire blast!
He snatched at Kate's wrist as he turned, tugging her with him around the corner.
What?
Shut up!
He was pulling the young woman behind him, back toward the river, glancing over his shoulder as they moved clumsily together. Behind them, soaring over the hissing roar of the water, Kate suddenly heard a sickening sound, like a pack of hunting wolves suddenly striking a trail.
are they?
I'm not sure. Maybe it's some of those trickies you spoke about.
Trackies?
Whatever. He looked around, desperate to try to find a hiding place. But the expanse of cold gray stone was bare, featureless. Apart from the other tunnel openings, there was nowhere to conceal them from the shrieking horde. Except the river again. Here. Ryan slid into the last of the ill-lit cavern entrances, beyond the trapping net, so that they could at least hurl themselves back into the torrent as a final resort. It sounded as if someone had given a signal that had brought a total hush. Kate was quivering, pressed against Ryan. He couldn't tell if it was terror or simply the biting effects of the freezing water. He drew his Sig Sauer from its holster and held it in his right hand. He risked a quick glance from cover, immediately pulling back into hiding. The one look had told him all he wanted to know, and more. Instinctively, Ryan guessed that these people were the Trackies that the young woman had mentioned earlier. But they surely weren't going to be any help against Simeonian and his sect guards. There were about a dozen of them, and most of them seemed to have mainly male characteristics. But even that wasn't very certain. What was certain was that they were among the most bizarre muties that Ryan had ever seen. Not one of them stood taller than 5 feet, with a couple barely making 4 feet. All of them were stockily built, wearing dripping layers of what looked like sacking. Most had long spears, some with multiple points like tridents, and every one seemed to have a knife, sheathed or drawn. But it was their heads that had caught Ryan's attention in that one snatched look. Most were uncovered, showing bald skulls, with only a few strands of stringy hair stretched across them. The ears were peculiarly large, farther back on the head than usual. Their noses were simply gaping slits in the front of their faces, with threads of slimy mucus dripping from them. Mouths hung open, lipless, revealing pallid gums and uneven rows of ragged, broken teeth. At a glimpse, it seemed to Ryan, that their eyes were lidless. They protruded from their sockets, goggling around the key for their prey. Their skin was deathly white, with an iridescent tone of green, like rotting meat. Ryan sensed that Kate was about to speak, and quickly laid his hand across her mouth, turning to stare intently at her, shaking his head. He put the barrel of the Sig Sauer to his own lips to accentuate the need for silence. Against the background of the river's pounding, it was difficult to hear anything else. Flattened against the rock wall, Ryan was all too aware that the Trackies could be creeping up on them. They could be only inches away. Finger on the trigger, he peeked around the corner of the tunnel again. The group was motionless, gathered near the net, staring out into the foaming water. One of them pointed with its spear. Ryan's uneasy guess was that they'd spotted the damage to the coils and were able to see that it had been done with a knife. He also began to suspect that the unusual eyes and ears might well indicate peculiarly exaggerated hunting skills, essential in the cold stone arteries below the mountains. Kate stared up at Ryan, seeking some clue as to what was going on. She had enough sense not to try to look for herself. Ryan lowered his mouth and whispered into her ear.
Think they got double hearing and dark seeing. Can't spot any blasters on him. Gotta be real quiet.
She nodded. He risked a third look. They were about 20 yards away, and the light was extremely poor. But the fractional movement of his head around the rock was enough to catch the eyes of one of the muties. The damage to their nets had already made them suspicious, and they were all peering about.
Over there! Over there!
The horde began to move toward the hiding couple. They ran with a curious flat-footed shuffling movement, rocking at the hips like plump women. They waved their spears threateningly.
Back in the tunnel!
Ryan led Kate into the deeper darkness, finding a passage that seemed to parallel the river. Less than 50 paces along, there was a cutoff to the left, which he took.
Damn it!
They stood together on the quay, now deserted.
Where are they?
Ryan looked behind, teeth bared in anger, frustrated by the surging roar of the tumbling river. He didn't expect any fight, to be fair, but he didn't like the way the Trackies were holding almost all of the cards.
There might be a whole lot more of them.
Probably are. Don't much like the idea of picking around in these tunnels with those goggle-eyed sons of bitches waiting around every corner. Rather trust us to the river again.
The brief surge of adrenaline had fought away the bitter cold that was seeping through his body with a fatal ease. Now, standing still, Ryan realized that time was running out for them. He looked both ways, but the jetty was completely empty and bare, except for a low wall of fallen rock, no more than 2 feet high, right at the very downstream end of the quay. The first of the trackies padded out onto the leveled strip of wet stone, its bubble eyes looking both ways.
Gone!
It banged the haft of its triple-tined spear on the rock. The rest of the meanies did the same,